Namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo, namo myoho renge kyo. Hi everyone, I hope this finds you in good health and secure. It's important these days, yeah. Savor your practice. All right, we are still in Description of Merits. I've got an entry in Volume 2 of Buddhism Reference to describe what merit is, sometimes called reward or benefit. There's different ways to look at this. The description, the words used are subtly different in meaning. But basically, it is another way of witnessing our life, our karmic momentum influenced, altering, because of our constant instantiation of Buddha-ness. The more we enliven our Buddha mind in our experience of samsara, our experience gets modified, pushed, redirected toward its maximal potential in a life-affirming way rather than its maximum potential in strife, craving, clinging, right? Dukkha. So we are starting another verse section, which I contend has more specifics than the longer storytelling sections. If after my parinirvana there are people who preserve this sutra, they will have immeasurable merits, benefits, reward, right? As described above. And if you want to know what he described above, watch the previous video, yes? Such people have already given various kinds of offerings. They have built stupas for the relics, adorned with seven treasures, always seven treasures, namo myoho renge kyo, with a pole on the top, which is very tall and thick, gradually tapering upward, until it reaches the Brahma world. Yes, I do have an entry for that. Brahma world. These stupas have been adorned with thousands of myriads of kotas of jeweled bells that ring with beautiful sounds as the wind blows. I'm picturing in my mind a lot of those flag structures that Tibetans like to put up, right? Probably got the description from this. For immeasurable kalpas, such people have revered these stupas by offering flowers, incense, necklaces, heavenly garments, and various kinds of music while burning scented ointments and butter oil lamps, which illuminate them on all sides. Which is basically what we emulate with our altar, right? In the troubled world of the decadent karma, in other words, the challenge to propagating the Lotus Sutra, our era, our age, those who preserve this sutra will have already finished paying homage in the way just described, with our altars, our respect and dignity, yes, savoring our practice. If they can preserve this sutra, it will be as if they paid homage in the presence of Buddha. Why wouldn't that be true? Since that's what we're instantiating, yes? But you know the dual meaning here. Because there's still a vestige of Buddha is a person. But that's not what he means. He means Buddha as a constant potential inherent in the cosmos. One which only you and I with sentient minds can perceive, witness, experience. It's always happening, but it's not always experienced, yes? And hand-built monasteries for monks out of sandalwood from Mount Oxhead, and 32 buildings as tall as 8 tala trees, and offered delicious food, excellent garments, bedding, hundreds of thousands of dwellings, gardens, ponds, paths for wandering, and meditation caves, all of fine quality. This is the attitude and intent. Those who have the thought of willing acceptance, there it is, attitude and intent, who preserve, recite, copy, or move others to copy this sutra, and who pay it homage, and don't think that's not a direct statement for what Nichiren would consider the propagation of this mandala. Copy, distribute, move others to copy, distribute this Nichiren mandala, not somebody else's, right? We practice Nichiren's doctrine of this very teaching. And who pay it homage by scattering flowers, incense, and scented powders on it, and by constantly lighting lamps of fragrant oils made from sumanas, flowers, kampaka wood, and atimukta grass. Those who pay it homage in this way will attain immeasurable merit, benefits. Right? Their merit will be as limitless as empty space. How much more is the merit of those who preserve this sutra, who carry out the practices of giving, dana, good conduct, sila, perseverance, ksanti, and meditation, dhyana, who never get angry or slander others, who honor monuments and are humble before monks, and who are free from pride, always contemplate wisdom, never get angry at difficult questions, and teach in accordance with the questioner's capacity! Right? Don't teach to impress yourself. Don't teach to impress those who are curious. Teach to assist, to deepen, to motivate those who are questioning, with deep consideration for the way they understand the world at this moment. Reach into their capacity, their mind. If there is anyone who can carry out these practices, their merit will be immeasurable. What your life will experience as a result of that compassion, you can't even fathom, because this is moving you out of your karmic momentum, reaching into the karmic momentum of the engine of life. This is why this practice of bodhisattva is so much more, quote unquote, complete, perfect. It's expansive. If one were to see such an expounder of the Dharma who has perfected merits like these, one should scatter heavenly flowers over him and provide him with heavenly garments, bow until one's forehead touches his feet, and think of him as if he were a Buddha. Furthermore, one should think that before long the expounder of the Dharma will approach the terrace of enlightenment, attain the unconditioned state of non-corruption, right? Unaffected by the distractions of samsara, breaking the deeply craving and clinging of distractions of samsaric identification, and extensively benefit devas and humans. And devas is also in the book, this volume too, right? But for this, I don't want to stop and, devas and human. Devas is basically our imaginative spirit, if you will. Get the book if you want more. It's not available yet, so I'll shut up now. Wherever he dwells, walks, or sits, or recites even a single verse, a stupa should be built, made beautiful with adornments, and paid homage in various ways. Wherever the heirs of the Buddha may reside, there the Buddha himself will take pleasure in its use and will always be dwelling, walking, and sitting within. That's pretty major, right? The experience of Buddhaness. The next chapter, 18, the merits of joyful acceptance. So you see how this keeps building one chapter to the next. Once you accept that Buddhaness is already inherent in your being, your karmic momentum has this built into it, then putting yourself to work to avail yourself of it as the lens through which you experience life, right? And because it releases you from craving and clinging, this is why it's joyful. Because now everything you experience moment to moment is the validation, the experience, the sense of momentum and excitement of potential instantiating. What could be more amazing? What could be more enlightening? All right. The merit of joyful acceptance is our next chapter. We're moving through this pretty good. Hopefully that made some sense. I'm still a little bit overwhelmed by what he's saying, but it's amazing, right? As usual, as always, please let me know in the comments or email if you have questions or anything to contribute of value. And, oh yes, like and subscribe. It takes a few seconds, but it's so important to the algorithms to help us grow. This Sangha, it's a Bodhisattva act. We're all here to propagate, to enlighten and propagate to others for enlightenment, right? So that's a very easy thing to do, and deeply appreciate your taking the time to do so. If you can do more, by all means, buy an ebook, buy a print book, certainly get a digital copy of a Nichiren inscribed mandala in his final years, yes. It's the universal mandala to help all of us quickly, immediately enlighten our Buddha nature, yeah? Our Gohonzon mind. And we have some patrons who are giving regularly financial support through Patreon. And I occasionally send out things just to be thankful and show gratitude to those supporters. You guys are amazing. And also directly through PayPal. There's all sorts of links on threefoldlotus.com where you can get a bunch of free information, but links like, what is it called? PayPal.me/Sylvain. It's like a really quick, easy way to donate. And you can do it once or multiple times, recurring, I think they call it. What else was I going to say? Oh, yes, the free podcast. Don't forget about all the free stuff. There are different ways of getting and sharing this database of resources to help yourself and others, right? These are helpful tools for you to help others, to teach, if you will. Right, to spread, propagate. People worry all the time. How can I be a full bodhisattva and help other people practice? I'm not eloquent. I don't know how to talk about these things. I'll stumble all over myself and I might screw up. Just spread, propagate this teaching to the best of your ability. And if that means, hey, look, I read this, or I watched this video, or this podcast, check it out. And then we can talk about it. Great. Hey, look, I printed this out from threefoldlotus.com and about, you know, what Myoho Rengekyo is. You want to read it with me? Let's get together and chant. That's the key. right? It's not difficult. And certainly addressing that concern is a big motivator for having created this resource in the first place. Because I understand, confidence is a weird thing. You have to build it up over time. And this is important, so you don't want to screw up. So this is all about giving you confidence in your practice and in your ability to share it. So if any of you just liking and subscribing is validation of the value of this resource, if you can do more, helps us all, right? So anyway, I'm just happy you're here, and most of all, that you're practicing. Namo Myōrenge-kyō. I will see you in the next one. All right, bye for now.